on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show. Great audience here today, powered by Ortho Carolina, alongside head coach Bob McKillop. I'm Jared Letch. We will start by recapping the final week of the Atlantic 10 regular season for the Wildcats, and we start on Tuesday night on the road at Richmond inside the Robbins Center. And the Cats fell 80-63 in that game, but much closer than that final score. And coach, the Wildcats got off to a hot start in the first and beginning of the second half, but what was going right during those periods of the game?
We had terrific ball movement, and we had terrific player movement, and we got stops defensively. So what happens, again, I've said this many times, is that when you take the ball off the glass rather than through the net, you can get into your action and you flow very easily, or at least easier than if you're taking it through the net. And I think we really did a tremendous job of getting stops defensively, and that got us into our offensive attack.
And Richmond was held without a three in the first half, converted on eight in the second half. And you talk about the contagious nature, and you just spoke to the offensive-defensive dynamic. Did anything else stand out, or was that what gave them open looks and conversions?
Without doubt, our discipline broke down. Our discipline in terms of being in the spot where we were supposed to be, having our body positioned the way it was supposed to be in, and also the way we challenge shots. And I thought they did an outstanding job of playing through Grant Golden, and they made some very big shots, and they had a contagious three-point attack, and all of a sudden we found ourselves looking at a double-digit deficit with about 4 or 3.5 minutes to go, and pretty tough to climb out of it at that point in that arena.
Was there any change to your message to the team and staff after Tuesday night coming out of that game?
We have taken the same approach since, I think, as far back as prior to the Massachusetts game, in which we were going to look towards March to become our best, and our best meant 40 minutes of our best. And I thought we had some great minutes, significant minutes, 32 minutes or so against Richmond, but it was not that 40-minute time period. So the message of consistency was what was delivered after the Richmond game.
Well, Coach, one positive on the player's side is that Mike Jones was back in the rotation.
Yeah, he's back, and he's almost at 100%. In that particular game, you could see his stamina had been off. You could see that his rhythm had been off. He had missed 10 days and was not able at all to move the way he normally has. And the flow and rhythm of his shot wasn't just where it was when we played that St. Bonaventure game when he got hurt, because at that point he had really emerged as a really valuable part of our offensive attack.
Well, the Wildcats concluded the week here inside Belk Arena on senior night, defeating VCU 75-65. Always an emotional start with senior night. You've always stayed true, like several programs across the country, to start all your seniors. And we'll dive in deeper to each senior in the next segment. But in that scenario, do you look for the first whistle to get your traditional starters in, or do you let the game play out a bit?
Well, we try to keep them in there at least until there is a dead ball. And I think we did a great job of honoring that. And I think our players, Cal and Malcolm and Pat, understand that dynamic. And they, of course, were very, very excited to have the opportunity to start, and they were very nervous having the opportunity to start. But they were flawless, I think, in terms of their execution.
VCU got off to a hot start from three in the first half in that game, but the Cats fought to only trail by two at halftime. What was the discussion centered around at the break?
We talked again about the discipline, having the hand up on the three-point shot, being in the gap on penetration, boxing out, not just from the standpoint of hitting your opponent with some flesh, but maintaining that flesh-to-flesh contact and not being a candlelight.
Now, a big run in that second half, 22-2 at one point for the Wildcats. What served as the spark for that run?
Well, clearly it was John Axel diving on the floor at half court and feeding Kellen, which led to a foul and getting killing two foul shots to jump our lead from 5-7. But I think the aggressive attack that we came out with in the second half set the tone for the whole half. You might recall that on the out-of-bounds play, they got a five-second count, and that immediately gave us the ball. And within the first 4 minutes, we had done such a great job of attacking that we were close to being in the bonus. One particular play stands out. Carter Collins made a pass and then made a very, very sharp, aggressive front cut to the basket and got held on that cut. And for the average fan, they don't understand how valuable that is, but that's a foul. And that's a foul that leads to getting to the 7-foul bonus. And Carter could have just taken a normal cut, but he was very aggressive and sharp and hard with the cut, and it invited the defender to hold him, because if he didn't hold him, Carter would have been open. So Carter, in an unsung way, did a great job of being a catalyst for us having that terrific second half.
What kind of value was there, Coach, for Davidson getting Marco Santos Silva, who's very good down on the block, into early foul trouble?
He's a load to handle. He's very strong. He gets great position. He's got good touch inside, and he's making his foul shots. His percentages aren't very high for the season, but I don't know that he's missed a foul shot against us in the two games he's played. But his foul trouble clearly put them at a little disadvantage from the ability to throw the ball into the paint to score. And that, I think, was a big part of the game as well.
We've talked about Luka and Nelson both. There's some synergy between the two of those guys. That game really featured, I think, under-the-radar contributions from both of those players.
Yeah, Nelson, he made that block in the first half and then got the loose ball, drove it the length of the court, and they made a great bounce pass to Kellen for a dunk. You don't see too many 6'8 guys with the ability to go from making a mistake by leaving his feet defensively, recovering and then blocking a shot, then picking that up and then making the play offensively. And I thought Luka shot the ball exceedingly well, and a lot of it had to do with his balance. He was down, he was catching in rhythm, and he shot the ball balanced. And that happens, he's going to make a great percentage of his shots.
When you look at Nelson's vision on the court, he's excelling. He doesn't wait. He's precise with his passing. Is that something that you saw as potential before in his development, or is that a bit of a surprise?
It's something that's emerged. Anyone that saw Nelson in his first 2 or 3 weeks in a Davidson uniform as a freshman would see practice, pre-practice and post-practice, Nelson just passing the basketball, because his technique, his mechanics for passing the ball was just not very good. And he worked and worked and worked all freshman year. And in passing drills and shooting drills, he was constantly focused on making himself a better passer. And I think one of the great assets of Nelson is his extra work he puts in by himself. But that's not just in the gym. What Nelson does is he records it mentally. You know, he's in the gym with a camera. He photos himself all by himself shooting the ball or dribbling the ball. And then he goes home and watches it. And I think he's created this visual for himself that allows him to just constantly play this picture over and over and over. And I think that's been a great asset in helping him become a better passer and seeing the open man.
That's going to take us to our first break. When we come back, we'll do a deep dive with Coach on our five seniors that we honored on Saturday night. Among other topics, answer some fan questions. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop back with you. It was a great night, Friday night, honoring five tremendous men and their families. And I want to take this time for additional thoughts as we run through our five seniors, Coach. And starting with Pat Casey from Fort Mill High School, a former manager to walk on. Describe Pat's contributions in his time here at Davidson.
Pat has to come to practice every day and expect to get hit. It's a very unrewarding experience, but a very sacrificial experience that eventually becomes a rewarding experience because he makes our team better. He tries to play Luka. He tries to play Nelson, David, Bates, and there's free rein to hit him. And he is just so tough and resilient, and every day he comes knowing what he's going to do that day, but he does it. And if you could have seen the look on his face when we had a team meeting prior to his junior year, and we announced that he was going to get a uniform. It brought tears to his eyes and brought an ovation from his teammates because of the great respect they have for him.
Now, secondly, Cal Freundlich out of New York, New York, and Friends Seminary High School, known for his high energy on the bench with the team and the crowd. And we want to play a quick clip here from Saturday night's post-game interview with Cal.
For me, the most special thing about this program are the guys they bring in. You know, I never really expected to have such a tight community of, like, brothers that I have now. And my best friends in the world are on this team. So to get to go to battle with them, to cheer them on, is the greatest thing.
So, Coach, there's Cal talking about his experience here and just the group, the collective group that he's a part of.
Well, those are not just words from Cal. He clearly has the actions to back that up. 2 years ago, we named him a captain of our bench. And his energy, his enthusiasm, his joy for his teammates was of such a excessive level that it just flowed over to everyone on the bench. And as a result, he became that captain, that leader on the bench. And you could see him being the first one to greet our guys as they come to the bench after a timeout. Just an extraordinary young man. And again, you know, in practice on a scout team, Cal is a superb shooter. So there's always an opportunity for him to play the part of some opponent, and he did a masterful job of that.
Next, we look at Malcolm Winter out of Green Lawn, New York, and Harborfield High School. And Malcolm has certainly added significant minutes this year as part of the roster adversity and handled it quite well.
Malcolm's interesting because he could have gone to any Ivy League school, and none of them promised an opportunity to be a walk-on, but he would have clearly played for them. And when we saw Malcolm, and my friends up on Long Island who saw Malcolm play as a high school player assured me that he'd be contributed to us in some way. We clearly let him know that he'd have a spot as a walk-on here, and he chose to come here rather than the Ivy Leagues, and he's been such a wonderful part of our program. And he and I have talked. He's got a chance to play professional basketball in Europe next year, working towards his master's, and whether he pursues that or not, he hasn't made his decision yet, but we've had conversations with people in England and Ireland where he can get a master's degree and play at a low level, but a professional level, because he's that good of a talent.
Now, perhaps the most emotional moment of the night, honoring fifth-year senior Keyshawn Pritchett, local guy to Mooresville and Lake Norman High School, battled more injury adversity than one can imagine beginning back in high school, but he really embodies the college mission of leading a life of leadership and service, doesn't he?
To see Keyshawn grow as a man during his time at Davidson is one of the most encouraging aspects of being a coach here at Davidson College. He grew as a man in the community. He grew as a man as a student. He grew as a man as a basketball player. He grew as a man into a man as a leader. And he is leaving here as just a shining light of what Davidson College and Davidson College basketball merged with such an outstanding young man can create. We are so proud of what Keyshawn has done and how much contribution he has made to our program. We are better because of Keyshawn Pritchett. His teammates are better because of him, and I think Davidson College is better because of Keyshawn.
Finally, we recognize John Axel Goodmanson, reigning A-10 Player of the Year out of Iceland, who became the only player in program history to finish top 10 in points, rebounds, and assists. We also have another clip to play here before we get to your comments.
It's just a blessing, and I couldn't have done it without my teammates. I was telling Keyshawn the other day, I think it was after the Richmond game, we were talking about the senior night, and we were just talking about how blessed we've been with teammates throughout the year and playing for Coach McKillop and all the assistant coaches, what they've taught us throughout the year, the 4 years that we've been here. And just like I told him, like, I love you, brother. Like, I couldn't have done it without you. Like, I can't do it without my teammates. Like, they created all the easy buckets for me, and they screened, they cut, they gave me open shots. And if I don't have great shooters around me, I'm not going to be able to drive the basketball. I'm not going to be able to pass the ball. So it's not as much me as my teammates.
So I thought that was sort of a telling comment there from John Axel. All the individual accolades, the climbing of the charts he has done, but yet he wanted to deflect that credit to the rest of his team.
You know, what he has become as a basketball player here at Davidson, I think far exceeded our expectations when he first signed with us. We didn't think he was going to be an immediate point guard. We didn't think he could shoot the ball very well, but we thought his toughness was something that really fit our culture. His work ethic fit our culture. His unselfishness fit our culture. Well, those things continued and got even better, but he worked so hard and made himself into a point guard and made himself into a shooter. And the result is a four-year player who has set incredible standards of excellence for future point guards, and he'll be one of the greats in Davidson history in the backcourt.
Coach, a couple of fan questions to get to. This first question says, other than Dayton, what other A-10 teams do you think are peaking and poised to make a strong run in the tournament?
Well, I see this as a one-game tournament. So I'm seeing every team in this tournament as a team that is peaking and poised, because it's interesting what happens when young men realize that this is the end of their line, this is the end of the season. They can exert greater effort than ever before. They can make shots that they couldn't make before. There's a relaxed feeling that they have. Whether they can sustain that or not is the question as you go through the pressure of tournament play. So I don't see any team at all taking a step backward. I see every team, because of tournament time, being able to step to the plate. And I think we saw that this weekend. The number of upsets that we saw this weekend in some of the conference tournaments speaks to that very well.
The second question said, would you be in favor of going to a 20-game conference schedule?
I have mixed feelings about that, because it will take two games off of our plate that normally maybe we could get the Wake Forests, maybe the Vanderbilts. But because the ACC, because the Big Ten, because the SEC has gone to that 20-game schedule, they've taken two games off their plate. So we would only suggest that, recommend that, if our conference from top to bottom got to the point that it was a conference that every team was in the 150 range in terms of the net. And right now, that's not the case. So I think it would be a great advantage if we have every team in the conference in that 150, 125 range in the net. And that's what the Big Ten has done, and that's why the Big Ten is projected to have the number of bids that they have.
That's going to take us into another quick break. When we return, we'll look ahead as we preview the Cats' trip to Brooklyn for the A-10 tournament beginning Thursday night against LaSalle. The Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch along with Bob McKillop. Time to look ahead at our next opponent, the LaSalle Explorers, in the second round of the Atlantic 10 tournament. We look at LaSalle, a record of 15-15, 6-12 in the A-10, coming off a one-point win at St. Joe's, 78-77 on Saturday to secure the 10th seed. And we know it must be Atlantic 10 tournament time, Coach, because the Wildcats have opened with the Explorers in now four of the last six tournaments.
Quite a record of finding a matchup with LaSalle, and they're a team that is dangerous. There is a team that is lethal. They just had the misfortune of missing their three-pointers against us when they were down here at Davidson about 2 weeks ago. When they're hitting their threes, because of their aggression on defense and because of their willingness to attack at all five positions, they become a very dangerous foe.
And Coach, one player they will be without is Ed Croswell, who has decided to leave and transfer.
Yeah, you know, I think that his replacement, Jared Kimbrough, is a sensational replacement. You know, Jared played for Neptune High School for a dear friend of mine, Joe Fagan, and we have known Jared since he was a young sophomore, and he has great energy. I mean, just great energy, and he's talented, and he's skilled. Yeah, they're going to lose Ed Croswell, but they're getting great energy and skill with Jared Kimbrough.
So, Coach, this is a good spot to put in one of our other fan questions. It says, do you find it hard to keep the team focused playing a team that you beat by 25 points?
We don't even think about the fact that we beat them by 25 points. We think about this being a one-game tournament. It's us against LaSalle. And that's all we can think about. We know what their strengths are. We know what their weaknesses are. They know us. It happened so recently. There's a great familiarity with both of us. And, of course, we understand that we played them here at home where we have a bit of a comfort level. Now that comfort's going to be equalized because we're going to be playing at a neutral site.
Coach, lay out your initial keys against this attacking guard-oriented lineup?
Well, we got to be locked in on the tendencies of each individual. That's without doubt pivotal. We have to understand. And we also have to respect the fact that they're going to come at us and come at us very aggressively. They're city kids. They're tough. Ash Howard, their coach, is a tough city guy. He has a great track record at not just LaSalle, but when he was an assistant at Villanova. And we know how they're going to come after us. And that's not just going to be on the offensive end. I think they're going to do the same thing on the defensive end.
And Coach, for your guys, when you get to this point, I know a lot of the lessons you take with you from what happened previously, but do you try to do your best to just wipe that out, go into this with a new slate?
No, we try to be consistent. As we've said, we want to be at our best in March. So we're working every day. Yesterday, we worked exclusively at situations, whether it's an out-of-bounds situation, an end-of-the-game situation, a timeout situation, a foul line situation, a situation against pressure, a situation against zone. We worked every situation yesterday and really charted and monitored how we are progressing. And we're going to continue to do that today. So this isn't just, okay, we got the tournament on Thursday. Let's just continue the way we are. No, let's get better. And that's our objective every day when we take the court.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time throughout this journey. We'll see you tomorrow as we head up to Brooklyn.
Thanks, Jared. And thanks to our tremendous fans who have been with us throughout this entire season here in the radio show and, of course, in Belk Arena. We're very fortunate to be coaching at Davidson College.
Thank you, Coach. We'll come back to wrap things up here on the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. We want to remind you to join us for our next game broadcast coming up Thursday night, March 12th, as the Wildcats start A-10 tournament play against LaSalle at 6 o'clock with our broadcast beginning at 5:45, and there's a couple of games coming up on Wednesday to open things up in Brooklyn. Those two matchups include St. Joe's against George Mason at 1 o'clock, and then the 3:30 game has Fordham against George Washington. The other game that is slated so far where we know the teams is at noon, and that's VCU against UMass. St. Bonaventure and Duquesne will get teams from those earlier games on Wednesday. A big special thanks to all our fans that took time out of their schedules to join us throughout the year. We look forward to an exciting week in Brooklyn as the Wildcats attempt to yet again recapture the magic of March. For Bob McKillop and our show producer, Peyton Gallagher from Learfield IMG College, I'm Jared Latch. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, and so long for now. This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield IMG College.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.